Coming up on 212 here on KATE, afternoons with Aaron, hanging out with you until 4 o'clock. It is a Tuesday. That means we check in with our good friend Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. And Jonesy, a good afternoon. How you been?
Not doing very well, Aaron. How about yourself?
Hey, doing good. I'm looking at dates for next week and the week after, and we know how the spring season works when it comes to prep sports. It's the fastest moving season by far, and I'm looking and going, okay, we got playoffs already starting on a Tuesday of next week for softball, double elimination tournaments. So a very abbreviated season because of the weather is going to start there, a postseason already in next week, and that's always mind-boggling to me because, again, the season goes so fast.
Yeah, especially in baseball and some of your team sports that finish really, really quick. I know my wife for track, I don't think they're done till like the sections on the 8th of June or something close to that. So they go a little bit longer. But, yeah, the spring season goes so darn fast. And, you know, compound that with the fact that no teams have gotten outside hardly at all for practices. And it's just been a strange spring, no doubt about it. I just got a text message right now that the JV and the varsity are not going to be practicing for baseball today. So another day where you might have been able to get out and do some stuff has been washed away.
Yeah, because of weather. So
yes,
gotta be in the gym. And I've mentioned this before in the air, and that's why I think the section tournaments, and we probably talked about this, are going to be so interesting for both baseball and softball, because you're going to have, I think, some upsets because teams, again, they haven't had a chance to play a regular schedule. Maybe they played four games in a week and had to throw guys that you're never going to see in the postseason. Records is how they seed teams, but I think no matter what section you're looking at or what sport, baseball or softball, I do expect there to be some upsets in the first and second rounds.
Yeah, I think especially more in softball, where you can get a girl that just comes out of nowhere and throws BBs out there and your other team isn't ready for it, and they haven't had a lot of live hitting. I mean, let's face it, these teams, other than games, have not had a lot of live hitting all season, and it's going to be definitely going to be a pitcher's game here for both baseball and softball down the run, in my opinion.
Absolutely, and I do want to mention the Albert Lea baseball team, as they've kind of updated where things stand. According to a Minnesota-scores.net, the Section 2 AAA standings, they always have the QRF rankings or ratings, and I've never really understood how these work. It's a combination of strength of schedule and wins. Eight teams in Section 2 AAA, which is a different section than last year. Albert Lea won Section 1. According to this, they would be the number 5 seed right now and taking a visit probably to Marshall in their opening round. West at the 1. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say West the 1. Again, this is based on the QRF rankings. West the number 1 team, New Prague 2, Mankato East 3, Marshall at 4. And looking at the ranking numbers, it looks like a 2 and 4 could definitely flip spots, or 2, 3, and 4 could. Then you got Albert Lea in the 5th spot, Jordan in the 6th spot, or in the 7th spot, excuse me. That's the 6th spot. St. Peter in the 7th spot, and Worthington in the 8th spot. It also looks like, based on a closeness, Albert Lea, Jordan, and St. Peter in the 5, 6, and 7 could definitely switch spots as well. Again, I'm not sure if they had the coaches vote or if they go by the QRF numbers, but I know coaches do look at these numbers if they are placing a vote for who should be where. But as of right now, according to, again, Minnesota-scores.net, Albert Lea would be the 5 seed traveling to a Marshall in the first round.
And that's interesting, Aaron, and that's probably why we're playing them on this Saturday. Albert Lea plays Marshall here now, and why you want to get a look at those teams. Like, we went to Worthington last week, and of course the tornadoes and the bad storms kept the team over there till about 9 o'clock at night. I think they got in one inning with the varsity and two with the JV. But you want to see these teams live, and I think that's a good reason, of course, why we play Marshall this coming Saturday. But you still got a couple games left on the schedule. If you can win out, I think you maybe bump up a spot or two, but you never know.
Yeah, it looks like, just based on overall records, you got Marshall at 9-6, Mankato East 9-5, New Prague at 7-5. And I think the Tigers have what I would call, I don't want to say a favorable schedule, but definitely a schedule that they can make some movement up, like you mentioned. Austin, I think, is still on the schedule one more time. You mentioned a Marshall in a non-conference game. They got Winona and Owatonna left on the schedule. So there's definitely time to pick up some wins and maybe move up to that top 4 and possibly get a home game. I know last year it was a lot of traveling to go to Red Wing as a neutral site in a Section 1. This year it's not much closer. Everything moves after round one to New Ulm since the team is out west this year.
And, you know, you talked about Austin, and let's go over that. They play on this Thursday at Riverland. Now, Riverland's got three fields there, and I don't know if you've seen those yet, but they've got the main college field, which the team, will, the varsity, will be playing on. And then beside that, they've got two other fields, and that's where the JV and the ninth grade will be playing. So there'll be a lot of baseball. A lot of our parents and fans like to watch both teams or all three teams, so they'll have a chance to do that, I think, all at the same time on Thursday. So that should be pretty good. And, yeah, I don't know. Just the Tigers have kind of been, I want to say, up and down a little bit, but I think they played some pretty good ball. They beat Austin by 10-run rule the other night, and that was a nice win to be able to take them out. They took us out in the playoffs in basketball, so I always like to get it when we can turn around and come back and get them back. And the JV also 10-run them, too. Actually, it wasn't 10-run. I think it was 12-5. They were up by 10 at one point. But anyway, so, yeah, baseball's – can't believe we're coming around to talking about the end of it. Interesting, too, Aaron. I know my son's going to be playing VFW this year, and they were supposed to play the first or the last weekend of May, I believe the 28th or 29th, and that's already been moved back a week because of the late wet spring to get games in. So I think their first VFW and probably Legion game are going to be that first weekend of June. And we've got baseball starting up in Mankato on Memorial Day. The Moondogs are getting ready to go. If you've ever been to a Moondog game, which I know you have because I've been there with you.
Absolutely.
With you in the past. But
yep.
They're a lot of fun, too. So summer baseball is not too far away.
Softball team we should mention for Albert Lee. It looks like they're probably going to be locked into the number 8 seed and probably get the top seed Mankato West with the postseason starting a week from Thursday. Again, Tom Jones with us on a Tom Jones Tuesday. And we want to talk about graduation. It's coming up on a Friday night for Albert Lee High School. Weather looks like it should be okay for outside graduation. High on Friday around 64. So you might have to wear a sweatshirt or a light jacket when you go out for a graduation. You did some research on a graduation. Did you tell me off the air back in the 40s?
1941. I've got a collection of the old Alahasas. And a few years ago on Kate, I used to do a Albert Lee sports history show, and I accumulated some Alahasas from way back when. And I look back at 1941, which I thought was kind of interesting. Of course, we all know we went to war late in that year. But a pioneer class graduate, her name was Dr. Sarah Ann Jansen from the class of 1891, returned for the 50th anniversary of her graduating class to speak at the graduation ceremony. I thought that was pretty interesting. That she was coming back. Baccalaureate speaker was Reverend A.G. Holmberg of the Calvary Baptist Church, and he was going to be addressing the students Sunday evening at the auditorium, the old Cap Ammons Auditorium. I think it was just called the auditorium then, but they were saying there was around 200 kids that were going to be graduating. So hats off to the class of 2022. They'll be graduating this Friday. I went to the one of the activities was the choir concert last night, and I went to that, and very, very, very enjoyable, put on by our choir teachers, and it was fun to be a part of, and it was very emotional. I could see for a lot of the parents there that their kids were doing their last high school, I guess in a lot of cases, high school events. So interesting. Also, Aaron, if we can talk about baseball.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That 1941 Alahasa, Albert Lee had been rained out against Otana the week before, and they were scheduled and to play Lyle. Now, back then, Lyle was obviously a little bit bigger town than they are today, and they were defeated by Lyle 4-3. But they bounced back the following Saturday and beat Waseca 10-7. So a lot of baseball being played back in 1941 for Albert Lee, and they played some different teams, of course. And it was quite fun to look through this May 15th, 1941 Alahasa to see the different things that were done back then. And another little headline, 1941 yearbook will be out next week. So maybe some people still have those laying around. So anyway, just a step back in time, a long time, to talk about some history of here in Albert Lee.
Now, Jonesy, you mentioned you're at the spring concert last night.
I was, yes.
And it sounds like, I mean, there's many, many different kind of groups that make up the music department for Albert Lea. And it sounds like we have so much talent in that department.
Yeah, the eighth graders have their own group, the ninth graders. There was actually, I think, five different groups that performed last night. It was an hour and a half at least to from beginning to end. But they did some real fun songs, and that's what really made it neat. And the crowd really enjoyed it, as did I. And my daughter Alexis happened to be in one of the sophomore group, whatever they're called. I'm not even sure. But it was a great show, great crowd, like I mentioned, and a good way to end their choir season.
Jonesy, yesterday was out in New Richland, and that's the first time I broadcasted from their little complex. They got a neat softball field, a couple of softball fields, and a baseball field right next to each other over there in New Richland.
I've had my son's team on the baseball field in the past, and I've never had a team up on the softball field, but it was very enjoyable. I actually listened to quite a bit of your game yesterday, and to hear Sophie Stork toss the perfect game, it sounds like. And I kind of wondered about after, I think you said three up and three down through three innings, and I thought, boy, maybe we're going to get a no-no here. And you had a chance to call a no-no. And my question to you is that your first one you've ever called?
You know, I think so. I know a perfect game, and, you know, if you don't follow softball or baseball, a perfect game is nobody reaches base. You go in order. So she faced 21 batters, 21 outs, and no one reached base. And I think what's more impressive is not the fact you didn't give up a hit, but not walking anyone. Because it seems like on any line, if you're a pitcher or if it's baseball or a softball pitcher, you know, one batter during the game might get away from you. You know, they might fight you in the count and you walk them. So to be perfect, not only no hits, but no walks and then not hit anybody, I mean, that's a pretty impressive feat.
Oh, man, is it ever. I think she's the point guard on the basketball team, too, if I'm not mistaken. And but just a great game to be able to call, I'm sure, and also to be a part of if you're New Richland and to get that walk-off win, like you said. Aaron, if I can, I'm going to switch another to a different little
Absolutely.
Subject here. This is something that I stumbled on, and I think people would really enjoy it. And Rod Crewe puts out a weekly newsletter via email. And I think if you just web search Rod Crewe weekly newsletter, maybe you can do it on your computer there and get us an address. But I, of course, growing up, loved Rod Crewe, Harmon Killebrew, Jim Cott, Jim Perry, some of the great twins of all time. But it's a really neat weekly column he puts out. And he talks, interesting thing he talks about this week, and apparently the Dodgers or somebody threw a no-hitter this week, but he talked about the Twins were on the wrong side, and I remember this game very well. Catfish Hunter throwing a perfect game against the Twins on May 8th of 1968. And what's interesting about that is, as you know, it's 6 days later, we happened to meet again. The game was at our place, so they batted first. I led off the bottom of the first with a home run. Cesar Tovar walked. Tony Oliva homered. Rich Rollins bashed a two-run homer. We had five runs, only one out. And a guy who had thrown a perfect game against us, crazy, right? Well, it got crazier. Oakland came back and beat the Twins 13-8 in that game. But they thought they were going to get their revenge on Catfish, and they did not. So he got the last lap. But it's a great once-a-week column he sends out. And if you're a Rod Crewe fan, check that out. It's just on the top, it's got Rod Crewe weekly newsletter. That's probably what the email address is, but very neat for the Twins fan.
Speaking of current Twins, Royce Lewis making his debut this week, and he's definitely having an impact on the Twins. Where else can he play when Correa comes back? Because Correa's the shortstop. That's where Lewis will eventually be the everyday shortstop for the Minnesota Twins. Where else can they stick him? Because he can't go back down to the minors. He's been playing way too well.
That's a good question. You know, you've got Kirilov just got sent back down to St. Paul, and he could play a lot of the different outfield positions, also first base. And you hate to see him get sent back. He's just too valuable out there. And I've already seen speculation. Maybe it's time to go ahead and trade Correa, but they'll find a spot for him. You know, he'll be a backup probably in the infield, and maybe he'll even play some time at first base. Great athletes can play pretty much any position. I wouldn't put him behind the plate, or I wouldn't pitch him, but I think he could probably play the other seven positions quite well.
Could you imagine after the Twins finally spent money on a huge contract that they would go and trade him? for the deadline.
You just never know, do you? But the Twins are riding a good high. I see Dylan Bundy got activated for the game tonight, and Cotton, the pitcher that lost the extra inning game, got designated for assignment today. So hopefully he clears waivers and ends up back over in St. Paul for an extra arm there, but we'll have to wait and see.
Did you hear that a Dick Bremer had to get out of the TV press box last night because an exterminator was looking for a possum at the Oakland Coliseum?
Oh, no. Oh, my. I did not.
They could probably just tear down the Coliseum or tear down that ballpark because I think it's so outdated. But I saw pictures of the opossum's head coming through the roof. They got the panels you can move up and down, and where the wiring is going into the roof, you can see a opossum's head sticking out looking around.
Oh, my. You'd think Danny Gladden or somebody would come up. I don't know who's doing the color, but they could take care of it with a bat without any problem. But that probably wouldn't be the nicest thing to do by any means. But I can't miss that one. And I had the game on the radio most of the night while I was working around the house. So, but it's fun. They went out west and got their first win on the road trip, and see how they can continue doing this week.
Yeah, game two of that three-game series tonight right here on KATE. Again, Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk again next week.
Hey, that sounds great, Aaron. As always, it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Tom Jones with us, good friend of the radio station. And, of course, he follows Albert Lea Sports and things going on around the Albert Lea area. So we appreciate Jonesy chiming in every Tuesday around 2:10. Here on KATE. We're going to check in with the Minnesota News Network with a news update in just a few moments. Again, 2:28 at KATE.